My title this morning is Desire, Desire. And I just want to say, if you were not here for the first service, then I highly recommend you go and watch it. We'll put it on Facebook. It'll be on our website. Go and watch Pastor Cindy's teaching on the new norm. It's just remarkable, amazing, out of this world. So please go and watch it, because it's actually going to, you know, it's going to influence our church moving forward, what she did. All right? So I encourage you to go and watch that. So how many of you know Henry Ford? Not personally, but anyway. Yeah, I mean, he's Will, actually. Yeah, right. You wish. So Henry Ford one day was, story's told, he's walking with his grandson by a lake, and his grandson turns to him and says, "Grandpa, what do I need to do to become successful like you?" So he takes him by the hand, and he says, "Come with me," and he walks into the lake with him. And when he gets to about waist-deep water, he says to his grandson, "Put your head under the water." So he puts his head under the water, and then he holds it under the water. So the grandson can't get up. And he's fighting under the water. He's becoming, I mean, just, you know, exasperated. He's struggling under the water, and he won't let him up. And eventually, he lets him up. And he's crying, and if he can't breathe, they say, "What did you do that for? I'm struggling to breathe," and so on. And he said to him, "When you want success as badly as you wanted the next breath, you'll get it." What was he trying to teach his grandson was that success doesn't fall off a tree. It comes when the desire supersedes all other desires that you have. In other words, it has to consume you, be consumed. So you understand that the people in the world who are looking for that kind of success have sold out to that. How many know what I'm talking about? They've sold out entirely to it. There is nothing else in the world that matters except this. Well, I believe that that is the same intensity that we should have loving God. It should totally consume us, and it should supersede everything else in our life. You know, God actually wants us to love him more than life itself. I'm going to tell you a personal story, and I love to share our personal stories. You get to know Jackie and I and my family a little better as we share them. Some of you might have heard it. But when Jackie got saved and made a decision to receive Jesus and to follow him, she came right out of the world as a model. And a few weeks after being saved, I was able to talk her into coming to a Bible study in the middle of the week. And she came wearing a pair of slacks. Well, she was asked by one of the deacons to please sit outside. She wasn't permitted to sit in the room where everybody was being taught the Bible study. And she was told, and I was told, that it is wrong for women to wear men's clothing. So, obviously, we were in a very legalistic church, still living under the law of Moses. Okay? Well, the alternative would be for her to wear hot pants or a very, very short skirt. Okay? That was the alternative. So she chose the most conservative thing to wear to go to church. Now, most people at that point would have left the church and said, "Never going back, no love there, look what they did to me, I'm out of here." You didn't need to be treated like that to find, if somebody doesn't greet you, go, "There's no love in the church, didn't greet me." Imagine if we said, "You know what, you've got to sit behind the curtain, you can't sit the rest of us." I don't think you'd even last the service, you'd be gone. Well, that was only one of the problems that she had, because at home, her mother and her sister forced her to choose between Christ and the family. They had a really bad experience. And they decided that serving God and serving Jesus was not the way that they wanted to go. Now, Jackie was in this terrible predicament where She loved me. We weren't married yet. She loved me, and she knew that I'd made a decision to follow Jesus. I had told her that. I'd said to her, I love you with all of my heart. There's nobody else on earth that I love, but I'm just sharing with you that I love Jesus more. And if you're not going to follow Jesus, we can't have a relationship. It ends here. That's what I said to her. So now she knows. She's in this predicament. My family or Jesus? Or my family and the man I love in Jesus? She chose Jesus, and she chose me. So her mom and her sister kicked her out of the home. Homeless. Kicked her out because she chose Jesus. Why am I saying that? Why am I telling you this horrific story? Because maybe some of you are having difficulty with relatives who don't like the idea that you're serving Jesus. The question is, are you going to succumb to that pressure and compromise your walk with the Lord? Or are you going to say, blow you, mate. I'm going to follow Jesus. If you don't want me as part of the family, that's okay. You might have to choose. You see, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves their father or their mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So there are two extremes that Jesus brings out in this verse. And the first extreme is that our love for our family should not exceed our love for Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, our family didn't die for us. Hello. Jesus died for us. And no one and nothing has earned the right to have your love more than Jesus has. Because only he has died for us. The second extreme is the willingness to sacrifice. Jesus said you need to pick up your cross and follow me, otherwise you're not worthy of me. So he's saying there needs to be a willingness to sacrifice. Sacrifice what? Whatever the cost of your cross is. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your cross is. But whatever the cost of your cross, you should be willing to pay the cost in order to follow Jesus. So there's two great extremes that Jesus brings into this. Let me ask you, have you ever loved somebody on earth, now I'm talking about, I mean, really, really loved them? Okay, so how did you feel when you were about to see them or getting to get to see them? Excited, right? Butterflies in the stomach, can't wait, right? Get to see them. Or was it like, oh no, geez, I gotta go see them again. How is it that some people treat church that way? Like, oh no, it's Sunday, gotta go to church. You know, I wanna stay home and watch the football. You know, I wanna go to the beach. I wanna go to church. I can promise you, if that's the way you're thinking, you haven't fallen in love with Jesus yet. Haven't fallen in love with Jesus yet, okay? Because if you really, really love somebody, you're not being forced to see them. It's not a drudgery to go and see them. You can't wait to get out and see them. Amen? So you know, here at the Promise Church, we like to invite you on a Sunday or at our prayer meetings, whether it's P3 or pre-service or at our worship time, to come and have a personal encounter with the one you love. Now, you can do that all week, and you should, but there's a different feel when you're with your brothers and your sisters, people that love God, and you come together, and they're all worshiping, and you get a chance to worship, and they're all praying, and you get to pray, and you, like, get so built up and get so charged, and you get this personal contact. So, you know, I look forward to church. I look forward to coming, you know? I mean, I would preach if you weren't here. I just love God and love the Word and so on, and you know what? God wants us to pursue him above other things. Amen. Above other things. Whatever else is cluttering your life, we need to pursue God first. He said it like this in Matthew 6:33. But seek first. Seek first. Did we say seek first? His kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Now, you know, many of us Many of us have a favorite sport that we watch, maybe on TV, or you like to go and attend. As you know with me, I love golf, and I love the tennis, and I love soccer, and so on. Yeah, I haven't really gotten much into, you know, the football here, and the baseball, and that kind of stuff. I grew up with different sports, and I guess that's probably just stayed with me. But how do you feel when your favorite team is about to play, and you're waiting for the game to start? Huh?
Nervous,
excited, you can't wait, it's going to go on, like, you know, come on and fight friends around, and you're going to have a great time, right? Get a great time. So, and then when they score, how do you react? Yeah? Yeah? Like, oh, gee, another touchdown. Is that really how you do it? Come on. I mean, you go kind of a little ballistic, especially if it's in the playoffs, right? Then it's like, you're just like wild stuff. Well, you know, so I don't know if any of you watched the World Cup soccer. Okay, so I've been watching the World Cup soccer finals today. And so I've been watching all this stuff. And, you know, when all the teams that I really liked fell out, I started to shout for England because, you know, we'd spent some time in England with English descent. And so I began to shout for them. When I tell you something, when England scored a goal to take them into the semifinals, they hadn't been there for 40 years. They were showing pictures all over the world of people that were just going wild. And the one group in England, they were throwing their drinks in there. It looked like it was raining. They were jumping up and down, chest bumping. It was just like crazy growing. Well, that also happened on the field at every game. The fans were going wild and were like tearing their hair out. And they were all dressed funny and just going crazy. But hey, when they lost, how do you feel when your favorite team loses? Is that terrible? But in the playoffs, when they get knocked out, that's like death for another year, right? They worked so hard. Well, people were crying. They were crying. People could not be consoled. Grown people were crying. Even the football team was crying. Well, you know, what I get from this is God wants us to have a greater desire for Him than the desire we have for our favorite team or favorite person. We should have a greater desire for Him to seek His ways, to follow His instructions and His directions. Isn't that so?
Yes.
We ought to have. Amen. So, you know, I'll never forget, he's talking about the playoffs and stuff. We were living in Florida, and Jackie and I made this mistake of one Sunday afternoon going for lunch, and we went to a sports bar. And obviously, you know, that's not where we usually go for lunch. But I'd seen this thing advertised, sports bar and stuff like that. I thought, well, let's go for lunch. Let's go somewhere different. And they had about 10 massive screens around this bar, all over different places. They were janked up like this. And there were people sitting there with their tables right by their screens, shouting for their teams. They had different teams playing on every screen. It was the playoffs. It was so noisy and so crazy. We could, yeah, especially, and there was a touchdown. Then there was a bad call. And there was something that was like wild mass hysteria. And I thought, you know what? I want to have a church like that. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what we need. We need to be shouting for Jesus and a touchdown and praise God and wild stuff and amen. And not holding back and just be so excited about our team, Jesus, that's winning the race. Amen? And the playoffs are all done and we're going through to the final and we've got a touchdown in eternity. Praise God. Amen. You see, God wants us to place our relationship with Him above every other relationship we have. Should be right at the top of the list. No other relationship. Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Make that your priority. Now, how many of you know that God is a jealous God? The Bible says so. You know that He can read our hearts, huh? He can read our hearts. And so what, you know what? He's jealous of who or what is on the throne of our heart. Because that's where He wants to be. He's totally earned the right to be there. He paid the price to own our hearts and to be in our hearts. So, I'm talking about desire today. Another term I could use would be hunger. Hunger for the things of God, desire. God actually rewards those who are hungry for Him. Listen to what Hebrews 11:6 says. But without faith,
It is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. Must have faith. God rewards those who earnestly seek him. So a lot of time people think that it's okay, I can just live out my Christian life in any way, and God is going to treat everybody equally. Well, in a sense, he does, because he's no respecter of persons, but God does, God is moved by faith. If you have faith, God appreciates that because he's pleased by faith. And there's another thing is that we don't all get equal rewards. Are you hearing me? Just when you get to heaven, remember I told you, okay? Not equal rewards, all right? You don't get a prize for participating. You get rewards for doing stuff for the kingdom. You don't get to the kingdom, into the kingdom for doing stuff, but you get rewards when you get the kingdom for having done stuff. You get rewarded for it. So he says here, those who earnestly seek him. Now, that term, earnestly seek him, it means to zealously seek something with one's heart, with all of your mind and all of your strength. So it conveys the idea of hard work, consistency, of being attentive to being busy about something and being devoted to. This is what it's talking about. It's constantly doing. It's being busy about something and being devoted towards it. Do we have any business owners here today, any personal business owners? So we have a few people who put their hand up. All right. So let me ask you this. And if you're not a business owner, I mean, you can identify with this. Do you think that the personal business owner is lackadaisical, has a non-caring, laissez-faire, lean back, what will be, kind of, you know, another day, I'll get up if I want to, I'll go to work if I want to, kind of easygoing, casual attitude about running the business? How many think that? Nobody. Not a single person. But if you speak to them about it, you'll find that they are fully committed, mentally and spiritually, that gives their undivided attention to making that business a success. That is the way that we should all pursue our dreams. Whether you have a business or not, it doesn't matter what our dreams are. If we're wanting our dreams to manifest, we have to give that 24/7, totally committed spiritual and mental attitude towards its development. Amen. So let me apply this to your marriage. All right, get to meddle just a little. If you're married, I'm assuming that you want to have a successful marriage. And certainly when we started out in the dating and then the engagement and the romance, that we all wanted to have a successful marriage. Am I right? Well, at least 50% of the people fail. The marriages come undone. So I'm going to share this nugget of truth with you. Okay? You have to change your spouse. So they will fit in with what you want. Otherwise, you're never going to be happy. Is that good? Everybody say boo. Boo, okay? Yeah. Yeah, if you've been married long enough, you know there's one word that fits it called compromise. Okay, so let me give you my nugget of truth in marriage counseling today. Ceaseless, round the clock, nonstop devotion to being the best spouse you can. It's all about me. My marriage, my success depends upon me, not my spouse. And it's 100%. You go to sleep, you're married. You wake up, you're married. You sit down for dinner, you're married. 100% of the time. If you want a happier marriage, change you. Thank you for all those amens. Love it. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Aren't you glad I don't do marriage seminars? No, you should. I should do one. So, why should we think that our relationship with Jesus should be anything less than zealously seeking him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and be willing 24/7, ceasing, never ceasing, constantly devoted to changing us? We're married to him. We're the bride. Amen? And if we want a better relationship with Jesus, Just look in the mirror. This is where it's going to have to happen. You know that in the Old Testament, Jesus told us that there were prophets and there were righteous people in the Old Testament that desired the time of the Messiah. They wanted to hear the truth from him. They wanted to see the miracles and so on. And they lived and died without this ever happening. But if you read the Old Testament, you'll read the yearnings that they have for Jesus. Jesus said this in Matthew 13 and verse 17. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Now, unfortunately, even though the Messiah was on the earth, walking amongst the people, healing and doing all these things, there were people that didn't believe him, didn't want to hear what he had to say, stayed away from the crowds. There were some that rejected him, completely despised him, and some even hated him. My statement is, what's changed? Nothing has changed, right? We live in the same world, nothing has changed. So we have to deal with the same things. But here's what I want to share with you today. If you're hungry for the Lord, say, I'm hungry. I desire more of God. All right. So listen to me. God is on the way. God is on the way. He's moving heaven and earth to get to you. He is honestly going to get to you. He will make a way to get the truth to those who are hungry and are searching for him. In the book of Acts, we read about Philip, who was one of the original six deacons. And he became known as Philip the Evangelist. In fact, he's the only man in the Bible called an evangelist, Philip the Evangelist. And he went out to Samaria and had a citywide campaign, big crusade. And by the thousands, people were being saved, born again, baptized in water. There were miracles happening. Demons were being cast out. The lame were walking. It was an amazing event that's coming, that was taking place. And right in the middle of this, an angel shows up to him and says, I want you to leave this crusade and I want you to go to the desert. I don't think so. All right, so back to the crusade then. Let's pick it up right there. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Leave the successful crusade. I know you've had a lot of fun. I want you to go to the desert. So Philip says, angel, I think your GPS is not working because we've really got it going here. This is an exciting time for us. It's all working out for us. I think you need to find somebody else because I'm not leaving all these people and going to a desert. Hey, there's nobody in the desert. That's why it's called a desert. But you know what? He obeyed. This obedient sausage obeyed. He just laid down what he was doing and said, okay, I'm going to go. And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in the charge of all the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And listen, this man is not saved, okay? He had gone there to worship. He's seeking God. He's not saved. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chair reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And verse 29 says, the Spirit told Philip. Now, it wasn't enough for an angel to show up and to talk to him. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks to him about this guy. How important must this Ethiopian eunuch, whose name is not mentioned, be that both an angel interrupts this crusade and the Spirit speaks to him and says, go to this man. Why? I can tell you now why. The man was hungry for the things of God. He was seeking after God. He was looking for God. The Spirit said, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip took his time, went to Starbucks, and then stopped at In-N-Out. What did he do? You see, folks, hear me now. This is a lesson to us. When the Holy Spirit or an angel speaks to us, we ought to run. Run to our assignment. So he runs to the chariot. And he heard the man reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And he says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? Unless someone explains to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Fast forward, verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? So now he's asking questions about the Bible. He's reading and he's asking questions and he's saying, what does it mean? How does it go? What's going on here? Help me. That is an amazing indication. This man is hungry about the things of God because he's asking questions. Help me. I want to understand the things of God. Amen. It's a sure sign that there's no interest if you're not asking any questions. If you go out on a date with somebody and you think you're getting real close to them and they don't ask you any questions about you, it's a sure sign. They're actually not interested. But if you spoke about them, they'd probably talk the hind leg off a donkey. Because they are interested in self. He's searching. He's hungry. He's hungry for the truth. So what does Philip do? He opens his mouth, beginning of that scripture, and he preached Jesus to him. Let me give you four little keys, and I'm sidetracking a little bit. I want to give you four keys to how opportunities will open for you in God. Are you ready? I'm going to give you four little keys, and you're seeking opportunities with God, and this is how they open to you. Number one, stay busy about the Lord's business. Number one, be busy about the Lord's business. Philip was already in the field. He had a crusade, and a new opportunity opened for him. He was already busy. His hands were on the plow. He was doing something. Number two, be sensitive to his voice and his instructions. Be sensitive when he speaks. Number three, be eager and willing. You run to the chariot. Be eager and willing. And number four, have some knowledge of the word. Have some knowledge. Now, this is a summary of what we do at the Promised Church. Let me share this with you. Be busy about the Lord's business. One of the first things we like to do at the Promise is we like to get you serving in some capacity. Get you serving. It is imperative. It's imperative that if you're going to belong to a family, that you do something for the family. You're part of the family. You don't grow up in a household and then don't do anything in the house. Don't wash the dishes. Don't clean the house. Don't take out the trash. Don't make your own, clean up your own room. Do something. Do the yard. Do something. Show that you're part of the family. Amen? And so it is true at the Promised Church that we like to get people as soon as possible feeling part, feeling that they're worth something, and we want you serving in the Promised Church as quickly. Get you busy as quickly as possible. Number two, be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. As soon after being saved as possible, that moment if we can, but as soon as possible, get you filled with the Holy Spirit before your head is filled with nonsense from other churches that tell you it's not for today or the Holy Spirit's passed away. We need to try and get you filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as possible. As soon as possible. And then we teach you to hear His voice. When the Holy Spirit speaks, we teach you to hear His voice. Because you can't follow God without hearing His voice. Hello. Okay? The third thing is, be eager and willing. You notice on the wall, developing passionate believers? Not laid back, lazy, come see, come saw, maybe kind of casual believers. No. Passionate believers. Passionate believers. So we're wanting to develop passionate people. People that are willing, people that are excited, people that want to come to church, want to do something for the Lord, passionate believers. And lastly, have some knowledge of the word. The reason we teach on Sundays, don't always preach, we teach on Sundays, and the reason we have a Bible college is so people can get some knowledge of the word. Because it would be a shame if you got called to a situation where you now have to witness, the doors open, you go, oh my, Yeah. Let me think. Okay, the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I could tell you that. Come on. You got to have more than that, right? You got to have more than that. You need to be able to give an answer for your faith. And so it is with the Bible College. So we're looking for passionate believers in Jesus. You know, one of the things that we make as an important aspect of our church is praise and worship. And again, I just want to say this to you. Today was one of those unique days. Our prayer meeting turned into a praise worship meeting. The bands overflow into it. We didn't get our 15 minutes of praying because Pastor Lindsay just continued in worship, and it was amazing time. Then we got 30 minutes of praise and worship with the band, and then when Cindy was finished preaching, We had another 20 minutes of worship. Was amazing presence of God. And then we had another 30 minutes before we started this service. I mean, this is four praise and worship sessions in one day. In one day. And the people are loving it. So if you're watching me on YouTube or Facebook and you're looking for a church that praise and worship is a big thing, you found one. Come on over to the Promised Church. We worship God here. Amen? We worship God here. So, back to our story. So as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, immediately that this guy hears about Jesus, he decides to zealously follow him. Immediately, he hears the truth, and you know what? He passionately commits to and embraces the truth of Jesus. Passionate. When I see this passion, you know what it reminds me of? The little bird's nest, and there's three or four little birdies in there with their mouth open, and here comes mama with the worm. And it's like, who do I give it to? And all little birds, me, give it to me. I want them in it. All little birds, give it to me. Right? That's what I see at the Promised Church. Amen? Amen. Who wants the worm? Who wants the worm? Who wants the worm? Amen. There we are. Passionate. Passionate about the things of God. And this is what this guy, I mean, he's like, he so embraces. He says, okay, all right, baptism. I'm going to be baptized. What else do I have to do before I get baptized? Come on. What's stopping my way? He says, nothing. He said, let's do this. Amen. Come on, let's do this. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. Amen. That's what God is looking for. And then Philip said, well, if you believe in the Lord with all your heart, you may. And he said, all right, let's do this. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Bam, down you go, son. Amen. Don't think twice about it. Just do this. Our desire, and let me wrap it up with this, our desire for God produces persistence. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, desire has a fire. Desire has a frequency. It doesn't quit. Desire has a force. And this is what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about being persistent. And being persistent speaks about never giving up, never walking away, never quitting, and never growing tired. And that's why he said, ask and keep on asking, but keep on receiving. Amen. Don't get tired of asking and don't get tired of receiving. Be persistent. Passionate disciples of Jesus must have a deep-seated hunger and desire for the things of God. It burns. It burns like fire shut up in my bones. Amen? Burns inside me. See, the love for the world must pale in comparison and fade into the darkness as the love for God, as my love for God grows in intensity. The world has no desire. I have no desire for the world because the fire of desire that I have for God, it burns too bright. When our children were not serving the Lord, and there was a time, I know they're beautiful serving God now, but sometimes when you're raised as a PK or raised in a Christian home, sometimes they want to go out and try the grass on the other side. The devil tells them it's greener. They used to tell me, Dad, I was raised as a Christian. I don't know what it's like out there. I said, you don't want to know. You don't want to know because you'll be crawling back from that side. It's a trap. It's a snare. Don't go out there. Don't go doing that. I used to pray this. Father, they're your children. Let the attraction of the world grow dim and fade as their love for you grows in intensity. God went seeking them with his love. And when that love was revealed, the power of the world faded and its strength faded. Remember that when your kids become teenagers. We cannot have a lackadaisical, casual, easygoing, laid-back attitude when it comes to serving the Lord. We cannot do that. We need to have a zealous heart for God, that we will serve Him with all of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our might. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Say it's my desire.
Desire.
Close your eyes and lift your hands and say this. Lord, I give you my heart.
Come and reign and rule.
Lord, I desire you above all other relationships. I put you first in my life. I will seek you with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my strength. Lord, I'm zealous for you, and I'm pressing into you, Lord. You said if I draw near to you, you'll draw near to me. I make it my life's quest to live close to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Everybody say desire.